Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Hello and welcome to episode 73 of the Tech Guide Podcast. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. This is a show that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. My name is Stephen Fenech, editor of techguide.com.au. We're going to kick off with the very real possibility that mobile calls will be allowed mid-flight on airlines. We'll take a look at the latest internet threats uncovered by McAfee, and we'll reveal the most popular internet searches this year. In the Tech Guide reviews, we'll take a look at TCL's 4K 65-inch smart TV. We'll also check out the new Logitech PowerShell that adds physical controls to your iPhone gaming. And we'll also check out the Cricket Australia Live app so you can watch every ball from anywhere this summer. And we'll bring it home by answering your tech questions in the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A packed show this week, so let's get cracking. Well, if the Federal Communications Commission, that's the FCC for short, in the US gets their way, mobile phone calls during flights may soon be a possibility. This comes after new FCC boss Tom Wheeler has called on a review of this ruling, calling the current rulings outdated and restrictive. So the result could be that people can actually make and receive phone calls, mobile phone calls, mid-flight. Now, I'm all for having mobile connectivity, for accessing the internet, email, that kind of thing. But making and receiving calls on a plane, I don't think is going to be welcomed by a lot of people. Some people may like it. Some people love talking on phones wherever they are. I just don't think it's going to be a popular decision. As I said, great for receiving connection to the internet, great for getting your emails, using apps. But can you imagine a cabin full of people on an aeroplane? One of the last public places, by the way, where we can escape the mobile phone. Imagine a cabin full of people yammering away on their mobile phones and asking, can you hear me now? Yeah, can you there? People often talk really loud on their mobile phones. Has anyone ever been on a train or a bus and heard that one-sided conversation? And the person's going on, not realizing how loud they're talking. Well, imagine that at 30,000 feet. I, for one, wouldn't really appreciate that. Now, I think that the decision's going to have to be made, I think, on an individual airline-by-airline basis. Now, this comes only a few weeks after the FAA, that's the Federal Aviation Administration, decided to relax the rules on gadgets so we can use our iPads, e-readers, smartphones, gate-to-gate, so that includes takeoff and also at the end of the flight during the landing. But if this comes into force, for a start, there's a couple of things that we need to need to sort out. And first of all is having cellular reception at cruising altitude. I think anyone who's tried to or turn their phone on mid-flight will see there's no service. So that's one thing that needs to improve. So before we can even talk about this being a possibility, the technology needs to be there to allow it. I'm sure there's a way to do it. There's probably a way that there's plenty of frequencies that the planes do fly through, even at cruising altitude. So I think that having mobile reception at that height, I don't think it's going to be a stretch. I'm sure there'll be some kind of receiver that will be able to repeat the signal throughout the aircraft, receive it from the ground or wherever it's going to be. But I think the end result, though, may not please everybody. I'm sure you've heard people talking on a phone before a flight. That's okay. And then everyone's told to turn their phones off and then we're on our way. But have you ever landed on an aircraft And what's the first thing, especially if you're traveling in the US, people don't even need to be told. As soon as those wheels, even beforehand, as soon as the wheels hit the runway, everyone's got their phones out, turning on their devices. You hear messages going off, phone calls being made, people talking, discussing when they're going to be picked up, talking about their next meeting, all that kind of thing. Now, that chatter at the end of the flight is uncomfortable for some people. Now, imagine that from start to finish of the flight. So I think the FCC may have a bit of a battle on their hands. Now, Tom Wheeler, who's the new FCC boss, says the modern technology can already make this possible to deliver that connectivity. So the FCC's proposal is going to be addressed on December the 12th. So we'll be keeping our ears to the ground for that one. But prepare yourself, everybody. It may be that mobile calls during flights may soon become a reality. Head over to techguide.com.au to read my story, and I'd also love to hear your comments. So if you feel free to go down to the bottom of the story, leave your comments on whether you are for this move or against this move. I, for one, am against the calling part. Happy to have that connection, but being able to talk to people and the whole cabin being filled with this chatter, I think what's going to happen is the sales of noise-canceling headphones are going to go through the roof. Because if I was sitting next to someone who's continuously talking on their phone, I'd want the best pair of noise-canceling headphones so I can't hear them. You can read that at techguide.com.au, and if you want to, please leave a comment.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
The internet is a little bit of a cat and mouse game between the cyber criminals and those companies, internet security companies, who are trying to keep us protected with their various products. McAfee Labs is one of those very companies. They're a research company that's owned by the Intel Corporation. And what they do is they trawl the internet looking for these threats, trying to address them, trying to find solutions for these threats so that users, whether they're on a computer or on a mobile phone, are protected. Well, the latest quarterly threat report has come up with some very worrying results. The first is the fact that there's new types of malware, and malware, which is short for malicious software, has been found not just targeting computers, but there's a rising threat against smartphone users. One other trend, spam, those annoying emails, they're not going away. They've increased by 125%. And that's just in the last quarter. So where are they all coming from? Let's start with the malware. Malware, as I said, short for malicious software, is continually rising, evolving, and changing. So that's why I said it's a cat and mouse game, because once one type of malware has been addressed, another one pops up. So McAfee, among all these other internet companies, have really got their work cut out for them. But one thing that they've noticed, and there's different types of malware, but one type of malware they've noticed is called signed malware. Now, what that means is that the type of software has a certificate that makes it appear legitimate. That's how companies, enterprises, identify valid data on their networks coming in and out of their networks by having these signed certificates. But the cyber criminal community is still very resourceful. There's plenty of money out there. So what they're doing is they're now signing the malware with stolen certificates or certificates obtained illegally. So they're fooling the systems, thinking the system thinks it's a legitimate piece of software, but this malware has kind of got, it's like a stamp to get into a nightclub. You flash your stamp, you're allowed in. The signed malware is a little bit like that. They're showing this stamp, this signature, and coming into systems. So that's a real worrying trend. The other little threat that's been becoming more prominent is with the virtual currencies. Now, worldwide, there's been a move to establish this universal currency system that is not tied to any one nation or any one continent or any one type of currency, for that matter. There's a move to create this universal currency that can only be used on the internet, but doesn't favor any type of country or any type of currency, and allows people to buy and sell online at a fair price. One advantage of that is that you're not restricted to, you're not tied to credit cards or debit cards or all the restrictions that come with it. But the other upside of that system for some people is that it's an anonymous transaction. Now, that last point, that anonymity, is what's attracting cyber criminals, because it would allow them to conduct their illicit dealings, their illicit trade, without attracting the attention of law enforcement agencies around the world. So it's a rather large loophole that's attracting cyber criminal activity. Now, onto that spam. Actually, no, before we talk about spam, the malware, the other significant type of malware, is now being targeted at smartphones, and in particular, Android smartphones. The mobile malware on the Android platform has risen by 30%. And that's a worrying trend, because the malware is becoming a little bit more sophisticated. So what's happening is that the malware is actually bypassing what they call the digital signature validation, so that a lot of apps require you to authorize it. The malware is actually bypassing that somehow. And once it's into your device, the second stage of it unloads into your phone and tries to gain access to things like your contacts and even the very content that exists on your smartphone. So if you're an Android user, I think the best thing is to obtain or download an app that provides you with security, that scans apps before it installs them, and gives you a warning if you are about to download an app that could be dangerous. So best to have that. And the good thing is a lot of these apps are free or part of a larger internet security solution. But back onto the spam. Those unwelcome emails are on the rise again. They're sent out in the millions. And the idea behind spam is that you send out tens of millions hoping for a return. And even if it's a 1% return, it's still quite a lucrative return for the people who send out the spam. Often different products, and you know, whether they're legit or get-rich-quick schemes, you name it, spammers try to get as much out there as possible. And as I said, with just a tiny return, it's still quite a lucrative result. Well, according to the report, that spam's gone up by 125%. But here's the thing. It's driven by legitimate companies. Now, what the companies are doing is purchasing mailing lists, sending out these mailing lists that appear okay and above board, but they've been obtained from sources that aren't quite legit, not quite reputable. So these mailing lists are huge, and they're quite valuable to these companies. So what these companies are doing, and legitimate companies, as I said, they're purchasing these mailing lists and smashing the mailing lists, smashing out the spam, and that is the result of that increased spam just in the last quarter. So very, very worrying there. But the bottom line is, whether you're using a computer or a smartphone, you still need some form of security. I think it's in everyone's best interest to protect themselves, because you just never know where that next threat is going to come from. Well, it's getting to that time of year where we start looking at the popular searches, the best ofs, year enders. This is a good story for near end of the year anyway. Yahoo 7 has revealed their most popular searches for 2013. Their annual search trend data has come up with some very interesting results. Now, the results are broken down into celebrities, events, and subjects. Now, let's look at the celebrities first. Now, no prizes in guessing. One of the more controversial female celebrities, let's start with, most searched person, Miley Cyrus. Now, her provocative behavior, her dance, that dance she did with Robin Thicke singing Blurred Lines at the recent Music Awards show, really set tongues wagging worldwide. And while that she was slammed by large sections of the community about being a bad example, but the end result is she got bucket loads of attention. And that happened to coincide with just before the period where she released her new album. So I think she was not minding that kind of attention. The other thing that people with Miley Cyrus, she released the music video of her, I think the song's called Wrecking Ball, and she was swinging on this wrecking ball naked, licking the sledgehammer. So quite sexual and controversial as well in its own right, and hence another reason why people were desperately searching for what she's up to. Other female celebrity that drew a lot of attention this year, according to Yahoo 7, was Kim Kardashian. Now, she was on the radar for a couple of reasons. First of all, she had a baby. her and her fiance Kanye West, that whole relationship has got celebrity stalkers intrigued. Kanye West is the popular rock star, rapper, singer, whatever you want to call him. Kim Kardashian is this socialite, businesswoman, model, now mother. She's got a daughter named North, and the baby's called Northwest, so that's quite funny as well. On the male side, we've got the Justin Bieber, also popular in the searches. He was up to a few things this year, a few controversies. He was involved in a bit of a stoush with the press in the UK. There were reports of him mixing with the wrong type of women in Brazil, and hence he's become a search for celebrity. But another popular search, and for all the right reasons, I'd say, Matt Damon, the very popular actor, a favourite actor of mine. I quite enjoy watching Matt Damon on the big screen. Now, moving on to major events that drew our attention. Of course, you can't go past the Australian federal election. But here's an interesting side note to that. One of the most highly ranked searches bigger than the actual election result was searches for Kevin Rudd. And he would have loved this. He loves a bit of attention, old K-Rudd. And the searches for Kevin Rudd, as I said, outshone searches for the election result themselves. Kevin Rudd has since now resigned, but he certainly did enjoy his moments in the limelight, and a lot of people loved searching for him. On the sporting front, the 2013 AFL Grand Final, the Ashes Test Series, the Australian Open Tournament, they were the top sporting events searched for. Tennis player Novak Djokovic was the most searched for athlete. Other topics that were popular in the searches too was Minecraft. Now, this is an old game that's enjoyed a bit of a resurgence because a whole new generation of players have discovered the game. The game's been around for quite a while, but there's all these younger people that have discovered it and hence searching for it, making it a popular search. One Direction, that boy band that every teenage girl loves, that also ranked fairly highly as well, as did Rihanna. And actress Jennifer Aniston. Now, every week we're reading that Jennifer Aniston is either married or pregnant or both. That's why Yahoo 7 loved her when it came to searches. Another big search was the royal baby, and future king Prince George, as the world waited with bated breath for the birth of Prince William and Kate Middleton's first child. Yahoo searches, quite fascinating for 2013. And if you want to read all of them, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Speaking of Wi-Fi, wouldn't you love for your Wi-Fi to reach out to your backyard barbecue or out to the pool this summer? Maybe up to the bedroom. Well, now you can enjoy improved Wi-Fi coverage on all your Wi-Fi devices, including tablets and smartphones, throughout your entire home with Netgear's dual-band Wi-Fi range extender. The WN3500RP will boost dual-band Wi-Fi to the backyard or upstairs bedroom and wirelessly stream music to your connected audio system using AirPlay, which can be used on your iPhone or iPad, or on Android devices using the Netgear Genie app combined with DLNA. You can get Wi-Fi wherever you want in your home using these Netgear range extenders, the WN3500RP. Look for it in your store this week. If you want to find more information, head over to netgear.com.au/Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick.
Tech Guide.
We're going to kick off the reviews for this week's episode with the new TCL 65-inch 4K smart TV. Well, that's quite a mouthful, but you know what? The TV is quite a bit to look at. Not only is it large, 65 inches, that's a lot of television. I think it's about 165 centimetres. It's also, because it's 4K, is chock full of pixels. It has four times the pixels in a full HD television. That's got a resolution of 3840 by 2160. Now, 4K is also known as ultra high definition, and they're very popular in the market nowadays. All the major companies have released these types of TVs. I'm talking LG, Samsung, Sony. But along comes TCL, which has been considered by many as the fifth major brand in Australia behind Sony, Panasonic, Samsung, and LG. TCL is a Chinese company, number one brand in China, as a matter of fact, and actually shares a factory with Samsung in China. So this is a company that's really enjoyed some amazing growth in the last couple of years. And producing products like this one, the E5691, this 65-inch 4K TV, is one of the main reasons why. I reviewed this 4K TV, and I have to say that for the value, for the price, you're getting high quality and a lot of value. Now, this TV is priced at just $3,999. That not only is that a good price for a 65-inch TV, it's a great price for a 4K 65 TV. In comparison, the 65K, the 65-inch 4K Sony television is $8,999. But what I like about the TCL TV, it certainly does punch above its weight. For the price, you're getting quite a good television. Now, the downside, though, of having 4K is there's not a hell of a lot of content. That's coming. But what I do like about this device is that it has an upscaling capability. Now, if you're watching a Blu-ray, for example, you can upscale that picture to near 4K quality. Now, I was lucky enough to actually see native 4K on this television. When TCL shipped the TV to our Tech Guide offices here to review, they also shipped across a computer. And on that, aboard that computer's hard drive was 4K content. At the moment, there isn't the technology available to fit a 4K file on a single disc. Now, 4K, because it's got such high resolution, takes up a lot of space. It's a huge file. So once that technology becomes available, you'll see a lot more content flooding the market. For those who think they haven't seen 4K, if you've been to a digital cinema, the projector that you're watching is a 4K projector. So imagine having all those pixels that are projected on that huge screen on your television at home. Now, when I was watching the native 4K on the TCL TV, I have to say it was incredible. The 4K sharpness really has to be seen to be appreciated. It's okay for me to tell you it's sharp, but once you stand in front of this TV, the picture quality is really cool. Sharpness and clarity, really, you can really understand the meaning of those words once you're looking at this. Now, the quality of in 4K was nearly equal to that of Sony, Samsung, and LG. But the thing with TCL is you're not paying a brand tax. With these bigger brands, you're paying for their marketing. You're paying for their name. You're paying the fact that they've been established a long time. And that's shown in the price tag. TCL, this up-and-coming company, is giving you a product here that is as good, almost as good. I won't say it's as good. It's almost as good. Put it this way. It's not $5,000 worse than those other televisions. It does really go shoulder to shoulder, pound for pound, as not a bad value proposition. Now, in terms of picture quality, as I said, it was above par. Black levels, I think, were a little bit weak. Could have been a little bit better, but they were still good nonetheless. Blu-ray upscaling was also quite good. It's also a 3D TV. Comes with four pairs of active 3D glasses. Now, one thing I didn't like about the TCL TV was the sound quality. To all the other 4K TVs on the market, including Sony's and LG's, one thing they had on board was an excellent speaker system. In the case of the Sony 4K TV, they had speakers on the outside of the screen. LG's ultra-high definition television had a sound bar that would slide down under the screen when you turned it on. In TCL's case, I think they had the similar speakers that are available on their regular televisions. And while you're looking at a great picture, you're kind of let down by the sound. My suggestion, spend an extra $150, $200 on a sound bar and you'll get excellent, or you get not excellent, but you know, better, much better quality than what comes out of the TCL speakers. But I think though, all in all, it is also a smart TV, I should mention too. So it's got built-in Wi-Fi, so you can do things like surf the internet, call up YouTube, catch up TV like SBS On Demand, Facebook, Twitter. It's even Skype ready if you want to make a few phone calls. But All in all, I think that this is not a bad value television. And you consider the price, $3,999. That's what some companies are charging for their regular full high-definition TVs, let alone a 4K TV. Not a lot of 4K content now, but you're buying for the future. Once that 4K does flood into the market, if you do buy this TCL 65-inch 4K TV, you're going to be glad you did, because it will really showcase that screen's quality. If you want to read my full review, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Now, if you're into your iPhone gaming, Logitech has a product for you. The Logitech PowerShell is a device that allows you to slide in your iPhone 5 or iPhone 5S or even the iPod 5th generation. Inside, there's a lightning connector, so it does connect to the system. And what it does, it offers you physical controls for your games. Now, there's plenty of controller-compatible games available on the market. Some of these include Bastion, Fast and Furious 6, Metal Storm Aces, Galaxy on Fire 2 HD, Nitro, just to name a few. There are some cool flying games, driving games, puzzle games, and shooter games that really come alive, that are made even more entertaining because you've got these physical controls. Trying to play these games on a touchscreen can be quite difficult. So what the Logitech PowerShell does, it frees up the screen. So you don't have to have your fingers half covering the screen. Your fingers are free of the screen. There's a D-pad, face controls, shoulder buttons, and there's even a battery built in so that it can charge your iPhone if you're running low. If you're playing a lot of games, it's got a battery on board to boost your battery as well. So this is out in a couple of weeks, the Logitech PowerShell controller. It's going to be priced at $129.95, available at the Apple online stores and Apple retail stores. So Logitech coming up with not a bad Christmas gift idea for the iPhone gamers. Apparently more than 75% of iPhone users are active game players on their device. So Logitech have done the right thing by targeting the iPhone audience with this product. If you want to read a little bit more about that and check out some pictures, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Well, the summer of cricket is already here. Australia have already won the first test and wasn't that an exciting match? But just in time for the summer of cricket, Cricket Australia have released their live app. This is the official app of Cricket Australia. Now, what's so good about this app, I hear you ask? Well, once you've installed this app, you can choose to subscribe to either a day pass or the season pass, which is a lot better value, $19.95. And you can then watch every ball of every match live on your smartphone or tablet anywhere within Australia. This app is available for iPhone and iPad, as well as Android smartphones and tablets. So if you're a real cricket fan and you don't want to miss any of the action, you can just subscribe to that season pass. Pretty good value if you're a fan, $19.95. And you can watch anywhere in Australia. Now, a word of warning though, it does work over 3G and 4G, as well as on Wi-Fi, of course, but if you're using it on 3G, 4G, it's really going to chew up the data. I think our estimates were that if you watched 90 minutes is about 150 meg. So we better be careful. If you're watching it in 3G, 4G, best to find a Wi-Fi hotspot or at home on Wi-Fi if you want to watch, or at the office or wherever you happen to be, if you want to watch it for an extended time. So Wi-Fi is going to be your friend here. But on top of the live action, you can also access view news, see the latest scores, behind the scenes videos, a lot of content, stats. So it's not a bad value proposition if you are a cricket fan. So Cricket Australia Live is the app, works on iOS as well as on Android. And there's a picture of me on Tech Guide. That's actually my fingers holding my iPhone, viewing the first test from the Gabba, which, as I said, was a resounding victory to the Aussies. But plenty more cricket to come, so it's not too late to download Cricket Australia Live and subscribe to that season pass. You want to read more and see some pictures? Get over to techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
I did have a question recently from one of our readers on the forum asking about digital radio reception. Now, our reader lives on the outskirts of Sydney in an area called the Blue Mountains. And he was asking, look, is it worth me buying a digital radio? I don't get much reception out there. He does tend to listen to tune-in radio. He asked how much data does that use, or is it better to listen to the radio on the web? My answer to the tune-in radio and the web question was that you're looking at about, for streaming that audio, about 15 meg per hour. So if you're listening to it on your phone on 3G or 4G, then you got to remember that that will have an impact on your data quota for that month. So if you're doing a lot of listening and you don't have a lot of data, keep an eye on that. Otherwise, listen on Wi-Fi. But if you do listen through Wi-Fi, if your home broadband connection has a data limit as well, keep an eye on that, because about the same rate, 15 meg per hour, is probably what you're going to be looking at. But his answer about the digital radio question, living out there in the Blue Mountains, not a lot of reception out there at the moment. But what's happened is that Commercial Radio Australia has just announced that they're going to improve the current black spots of the digital audio broadcasting areas with 12 new on-channel repeaters. So in metropolitan radio license areas in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane and Perth, their radio reception is going to have extended coverage, and they say that it's even going to challenge geographically challenging environments and also the boundaries of these license areas. So Blue Mountains could even be one of them. So your digital radio reception is going to improve. Now, we've heard plenty of reports of different pockets of various cities where digital radio reception isn't that good. But what it sounds like to me is that Commercial Radio Australia is really doing something about it, and these rollouts have already begun. So stay tuned, pardon the pun, to some more about this. So if you do live in one of these areas, keep an eye out on Tech Guide. We'll be reporting about this. And also when I'm talking on 2GB with Chris Smith in the afternoon show there, naturally that's on the radio. You're going to want to hear that as clearly as possible. We're going to be keeping you updated about where these new improvements of digital radio reception are going to be. So if you are interested in buying a digital radio in time for Christmas, now would be a very good time. And that's the end of another show. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. You can read about everything we've talked about here at techguide.com.au. And please, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to get in touch, send us an email. The address is info@techguide.com.au. You can also send us your help desk questions, as we heard from today. One of our readers sent our question to the forum. So head over to Tech Guide, click on the forum button, and either myself or many of my loyal readers will jump in there and help answer your question or give you an opinion if you're looking for maybe some product recommendations. And a special thanks too to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having your company. We look forward to you tuning in again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.